In Melchiades' room, on the other hand, protected by the supernatural light, by the sound of the rain, by the feeling of being invisible, he found the repose that he had not had for one single instant during his previous life, and the only fear that remained was that they would bury him alive. He told Santa Sofia de la Piedad about it when she brought him his daily meals, and she promised to struggle to stay alive even beyond her natural forces in order to make sure that they would bury him dead. Free from all fear, José Arcadio II dedicated himself then to peruse the manuscripts of Melquiades many times, and with so much more pleasure when he could not understand them. He became accustomed to the sound of the rain, which after 2 months had become another form of silence, and the only thing that disturbed his solitude was the coming and going of Santa Sofia de la Piedad. He asked her, therefore, to leave the meals on the windowsill and padlock the door. The rest of the family forgot about him, including Fernanda, who did not mind leaving him there when she found that the soldiers had seen him without recognizing him. After 6 months of enclosure, since the soldiers had left Macondo, Aureliano II removed the padlock, looking for someone he could talk to until the rain stopped. As soon as he opened the door, he felt the pestilential attack of the chamber pots, which were placed on the floor and all of which had been used several times. José Arcadio II, devoured by baldness, indifferent to the air that had been sharpened by the nauseating vapors, was still reading and rereading the unintelligible parchments. He was illuminated by a seraphic glow. He scarcely raised his eyes when he heard the door open, but that look was enough for his brother to see repeated in it the irreparable fate of his great-grandfather. There were more than 3,000 of them, was all that José Arcadio II said. I'm sure now that they were everybody who had been at the station. It rained for 4 years, 11 months, and 2 days. There were periods of drizzle, during which everyone put on his full dress and a convalescent look to celebrate the clearing. But people soon grew accustomed to interpret the pauses as a sign of redoubled rain. The sky crumbled into a set of destructive storms, and out of the north came hurricanes that scattered roofs about and knocked down walls and uprooted every last plant of the banana groves. Just as during the insomnia plague, as Ursula came to remember during those days, the calamity itself inspired defenses against boredom. Aureliano II was one of those who worked hardest not to be conquered by idleness. He had gone home for some minor matter on the night that Mr. Brown unleashed the storm, and Fernanda tried to help him with a half-blown-out umbrella that she found in a closet. "I don't need it," he said. "I'll stay until it clears." That was not, of course, an ironclad promise, but he would accomplish it literally. Since his clothes were at Petracotes's, every 3 days he would take off what he had on and wait in his shorts until they were washed. In order not to become bored, he dedicated himself to the task of repairing the many things that needed fixing in the house. He adjusted hinges, oiled locks, screwed knockers tight, and planed door jams. For several months he was seen wandering about with a toolbox that the gypsies must have left behind in José Arcadio Buendía's days, and no one knew whether because of the involuntary exercise, the winter tedium, or the imposed abstinence, but his belly was deflating little by little like a wineskin, and his face of a beatific tortoise was becoming less bloodshot, and his double chin less prominent, until he became less pachydermic all over, and was able to tie his own shoes again. Watching him putting in latches and repairing clocks, Fernanda wondered whether or not he too might be falling into the vice of building, so that he could take apart, like Colonel Aureliano Buendía and his little gold fishes, Amaranta and her shroud and her buttons, José Arcadio and the parchments, and Úrsula and her memories. But that was not the case. The worst part was that the rain was affecting everything, and the driest of machines would have flowers popping out among their gears if they were not oiled every 3 days, and the threads and brocades rusted, and what clothing would break out in a rash of saffron-colored moss. The air was so damp that fish could have come in through the doors and swum out the windows, floating through the atmosphere in the rooms.